Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
It's Thursday, the 18th of August. A very good morning to you and welcome to this edition of Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up in South Africa, municipal administrations are taking shape following elections that led to sharp losses for the ANC. The radical economic freedom fighters say they will be voting with the DA, the Pro-Business Democratic Alliance.
DA must know our voting for them in these metros does not mean we are in bed together. They are a better devil compared to the ANC.
And the World Health Organization is mounting a huge emergency vaccination campaign against yellow fever in the DRC and Angola.
41,000 health workers and volunteers are mobilized. There will be more than 8,000 vaccination sites.
Stay tuned to Africa Link.
Top story.
In South Africa, the ruling African National Congress, the ANC, the Democratic Alliance, the DA, and the Economic Freedom Fighters, the EFF, will not be forming coalitions in any of the 27 hung municipalities across the country. The municipalities were left without clear majorities after the ANC suffered heavy losses in the local elections on August the 3rd. But as Tuzo Kamalo reports, the DA has come to a working arrangement with smaller parties that will put it in control of all the country's major cities.
After hotly contested local government elections held early this month, the DA won Cape Town with a large majority. It also won the capital city of Tshwane and Nelson Mandela Bay, but with such a small margin that it needed coalition partners to enjoy a majority rule. On the other hand, the ANC won Johannesburg with a small margin, and it also became desperate for coalition partners there. Both parties had vigorous coalition talks with the EFF, which came third in the elections. However, addressing separate media briefings in Johannesburg Wednesday, the DA and the EFF admitted that coalition talks among the three leading parties have permanently failed. EFF leader Julius Malema, whose party was the first choice for both the ANC and the DA in 27 hung municipalities across the country, said both parties failed to meet the party's conditions that included working together for land expropriation without compensation, nationalization of mines and banks, and implementation of immediate free education. However, Malema said the EFF will vote with the DA in all major matters in Tshwane, Johannesburg and Nelson Mandela Bay, but reluctantly so.
DA must know our voting for them in these metros does not mean we are in bed together. They are a better devil compared to the ANC.
In addition to failing to meet the above conditions, Malema said the ANC refused to force President Jacob Zuma to step down as a key condition for the coalition between the EFF and the ANC.
The ANC is extremely arrogant, so we have to deal with it in such a way that individuals start being personally affected.
DA leader Musi Maimane explained that differences in ideologies made it impossible for his party to forge a coalition with the EFF. The DA, however, managed to lure five smaller parties into a coalition, with the EFF having announced that it will vote with the DA in all crucial matters. Maimane is hopeful that the coalition will be in control of most of the hung municipalities, including the city of Johannesburg and Tshwane.
This framework agreement commits the respective parties to a number of things that are key. How do you govern for the people of South Africa? How do you maintain the South African constitution? How do you pursue, as I've allowed, the issue of non-racialism, free and fair elections, service delivery for our people?
And that report was compiled by Tuzo Kamalo. For analysis of these rather unusual events in South African politics, I turn to Philip Lewet, associate editor of the Mail and Guardian. He told me that developments were essentially being driven by one political party.
The Economic Freedom Fighters, the third largest party, has taken the ideological stance saying it will oppose the ANC. In other words, they're saying we're not forming a coalition with the DA necessarily, but we believe that in any city where the ANC dropped below 50%, the message from the voters is clear. In order to honour that message, we are going to provide our votes to the mayoral candidates of the typically the Democratic Alliance and most of the major metros. So that, it seems, will get us over the first hurdle this weekend and allow governments to be formed. Of course, that doesn't mean that there will be agreement on subsequent budget votes.
Can you see these minority governments actually working?
Well, the parties are sitting next to one another at tables and they're saying to us, but of course, you know, running a city is a matter of technocratic expertise. We all believe in service delivery. All will be fine. But you have very disparate parties sitting together there. You've got parties with deeply different ideologies. And when it comes to matters of budgets, especially when it comes to the nitty-gritty of running a city government, there will inevitably be trouble. It is going to be very hard in some cases.
Coalitions and also minority governments mean compromises. Won't this prevent the political parties from delivering on the promises they made to the electorate?
Well, we've seen a surprising number of compromises already today, where we're seeing basically mortal enemies joining up in defiance of the ANC. And it's that common enemy of the ANC which seems to be driving everything at the moment. As long as that maintains, and as long as all of these parties fear a resurgence of the ANC, as long as they believe that the people who voted for them want to see them opposing the ANC, then perhaps they will be able to find that necessary common ground.
How much determination is there to make these minority governments work?
Quite a lot. This is vastly important for the likes of the Democratic Alliance. And keep in mind that all of these parties are looking forward to the national and provincial government elections of 2019. They basically have 2 years to line matters up such that they can claw back more of the ANC votes than they did in these local elections. They desperately want to have a good showing. I think even some of the opposition parties, the minor parties that will now be in opposition to the likes of the DA, will want to see the opposition succeed. The last thing they want voters to think going into 2019 is that it's impossible for an opposition to run a city and therefore impossible to run a province or a country.
Philip Lewet, associate editor of the South African weekly Mail and Guardian.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has said he will launch an independent investigation into an attack in July on a residential compound used by aid workers in South Sudan. The attack was allegedly carried out by South Sudanese government troops, and UN peacekeepers failed to prevent it. Human Rights Watch says foreign women on the compound were raped and staff were beaten up. South Sudan's new vice president, Taban Dengai, has dismissed these allegations. He was speaking in Nairobi, from where Andrew Wasiki reports.
South Sudan is at peace. This was the message that the first South Sudan vice president, Taban Dengai, came to Kenya to deliver to the country's leader, Uhuru Kenyatta. Taban added that the process to fulfill terms of the agreement signed between Dr. Riek Machar and South Sudan President Salva Kiir is underway. In July, fighting broke out again between forces allied to President Salva Kiir and rebel Riek Machar, leaving over 500 dead and 1,000 displaced. Vice President Taban Dengai says the two armed forces in South Sudan will be united by May next year, adding that what brought the crisis was the existence of parallel armies in the country.
We came here to meet our brother, President Uhuru Kenyatta, to update him on the current issues in the Republic of South Sudan. Is the country going back to war or we are sticking to peace? I'm glad to inform you here that the leadership of SPLM in opposition have decided to stick to the position of implementing peace, because the country has no option better than continuing with the implementation of peace.
Taban Deng Gai accused former Vice President Riek Machar of intentionally stalling the peace pact by running a parallel government, which allegedly caused the violence on July 7th.
Riek have decided to move away from Juba to fight again another war, another civil war. I and my colleague in the leadership of the SPLM, IO, we decided to remain in Juba. As I said earlier, the option is not going back to war. The option is continuing with the implementation of peace.
Human rights organizations and the UN have accused Juba government of committing human rights violations, including rape. Even though the deputy president agreed that there were some abuses, he strongly dismissed a report that South Sudan troops were responsible for raping, beating, killing and robbing aid workers on July 11. Martin Elia Lomuro said the report clearly indicated that the violations were done by men in uniform.
That report says the rapes that took place were rapes done by men in uniform. Now, men in uniform does not mean the SPLA. Doesn't mean the SPLA IO. Doesn't mean, could be UNIMIS, could be SPLA IO, could be anybody who has uniform.
And that report was compiled by Andrew Wasiki in Nairobi. The Democratic Republic of Congo and Angola have begun one of the biggest emergency vaccination campaigns ever mounted to curb an epidemic of yellow fever. In Angola, the disease has killed more than 350 people over the last 6 weeks. The vaccination campaign is being run by the World Health Organization, and my colleague Isaac Mugabe asked their spokesperson, Tariq Yasarevich, what goals they and their partners had set themselves.
Well, we hope, first of all, that the campaign will go well, that we will be able to vaccinate 14 million people as planned in both Angola and the Democratic Republic of Congo. As you know, this is a huge operation because we are aiming to do this really in just a couple of weeks. 41,000 health workers and volunteers are mobilized. There will be more than 8,000 vaccination sites. So it is a massive effort, but we think that it's important that we try to protect as many people as possible before the rainy season starts, but also that would make operations more challenging from a logistical point of view.
And has there been enough engagement of local communities in the two countries in order for the vaccination exercise to end successfully before the rains come?
We already vaccinated more than 16 million people, mostly in Angola, then a couple of million in Democratic Republic of Congo, and also in Uganda, where there was an unrelated yellow fever outbreak that luckily was stopped. So there is for sure awareness, especially in Angola, because with all that vaccination campaigns that took place, we are now at a situation where we didn't have any confirmed case in that country for 8 weeks now. It is extremely important that we explain to people, especially in big cities like Kinshasa, why it is important to get vaccinated. There is a work ongoing together with the primarily with the Ministry of Health, but all the other partners, to provide this information to the community leaders so people really participate and come out to be vaccinated.
And how do you intend to prevent vaccines ending up on the black market, like was the case in Angola, yet they are meant to be free of charge?
Well, we work with the governments, obviously, to try to monitor the arrival and the use of vaccines. What happened in Angola is just that at the beginning of the campaigns, with the first campaign, it appeared that some vaccines were used in other medical facilities than those that have been firstly planned to be points of vaccination. No vaccines have really disappeared, if you like. It is really important we work together jointly with the ministries of health, but also with other partners to help them prepare and implement the campaign.
Tariq Yasarevich. And now, as always on a Monday, more radio drama from our Learning by Ear team.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello and welcome to Learning by Ear. This is the 10th episode of our radio drama series, The Promised Land, a story of African migration to Europe. We're looking at the story of legal and illegal migration by Africans to what is seen as the Promised Land, Europe. Linda has been working illegally as a waitress in a European nightclub, a job her friend Florence got her into. Back home in Africa, Chivasi hadn't heard from Linda in a long time and was starting to worry. So he went to her parents' house to ask if everything was all right. While he was there, he discovered that Linda's parents were having financial difficulties. They gave him Florence's number to try to reach Linda, but when he called, Florence answered him rudely, told him he should forget about his fiancée, and hung up. It was a wake-up call for Linda, though. She's decided she should take a break and go home for a holiday. Meanwhile, our friends Farahani and Sule in the north of Africa had a big argument about whether to flee their country, which is troubled by political violence. Farahani has decided to make another attempt to get to Europe, leaving behind his best friend Sule. Today's episode, Two Faces of Migration, opens at the Maraga family home, where Linda has suddenly arrived from Europe for a surprise visit. Her parents are surprised by how much their daughter has changed. She seems like another person altogether. Let's listen as they chat over supper.
Ah, these bloodthirsty mosquitoes.
Oh, I still can't believe my eyes. Linda, you're really here.
When I opened the door and saw you standing there with all your luggage, I thought I must be dreaming. This is the best surprise of my life.
Dad, Mom, do you mind if I close the windows?
No.
The mosquitoes are getting in.
Of course, do whatever you like. This is your home, Linda. But tell us more about Europe. Mm-hmm. Your studies, your job, your friends. You look so different.
Yes, you must be earning a lot of money. You're wearing such nice clothes and shoes. New mobile phone, new laptop, new wristwatch.
New Linda. That's the best way to put it. A new Linda. So tell us, what have you been doing to afford all this?
Well, I'm in the service industry, and in Europe that pays well. Listen, I'm sorry, but if you don't mind, I'd like to go out and meet my friends.
No, of course.
Of course.
I realize things must seem rather different at home these days, Linda. We lost our jobs. They've disconnected the electricity supply because we couldn't pay the bill. That's why we're sitting in the dark.
Oh, yeah. I'm really sorry about that. Here. Here's 500 euros. That will be enough for now, won't it?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you so much.
Linda is behaving like a rich, considerate, generous daughter. But she hasn't really explained to her parents what exactly she's doing to earn money like this. And her parents seem happy not to ask. Later on, Linda joins some of her old friends at a local pub, a place she never used to go before. Among them are Chivasi and Linda's old school friend, Dora.
Oh, it's so good to be back, to see all of you. It's great that you could all come on such short notice.
You can thank Facebook for that.
Yeah. Yes, that was quite a surprise. Mm-hmm. I thought you must be joking when I saw your status update. Back home for a week. Let's all meet up tonight.
Yeah.
I thought I'd be the first to know if you're planning to come home.
Wow, Linda. You look so, so cool.
Thank you.
I don't know what it is about Europe, but everyone who goes there seems to come back prettier, classier, and healthier.
Yeah. Yeah. And richer, don't forget.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, what can I say? I have a good life there, and I'm studying a subject I love and earning good money in my part-time job. Ah. In other words, I'm having the time of my life.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
Hey, all the drinks and food are on me tonight, so please eat and drink as much as you'd like.
Oh, yeah. Linda, wow. I need to come over and join you. Maybe you can help me find a family where I can work as a living au pair or a college that offers exchange programs.
Dora, it's not that simple, you know. With the visa and everything.
But really? You did it!
Yeah!
And I must admit, I never thought that after such a short time you'd be able to come back home, having earned enough money to pay for your ticket.
Mm-hmm.
That is, unless somebody else paid it for you.
What? I sense some jealousy here from Chivasi.
Jealousy? Me? No! I have no reason to be jealous, do I? I love Linda, and I would do anything to be with her, even if it meant crossing the ocean.
Ooh, okay.
Really? Would you do that for me?
Of course.
I'd be so happy if you did that. It would be wonderful to be together with you in Europe.
Okay, you two, that's enough.
What?
We came here to party, not to plan our futures. Yeah. Come on, everybody, let's get up and dance.
Hey.
As Linda and her friends dance the night away, drinking and partying at Linda's expense, Back on the North African coast, Farahani has made up his mind. He and a small group of other migrants have paid a human trafficker to take them across to Europe, and they're now being tossed up and down on the stormy Mediterranean Sea. They're all praying that the European border guards won't intercept their boat and send them all back. But a huge surprise is in store for them. The danger this time is much closer than they think. Listen on.
Hey, okay? I've done my best to avoid all the border guards. We've crossed into European waters, and we're only a few kilometers from the shore. I can't go any further than this.
What?
From here on, it's up to you. You can see the coastline over there. In the distance, all you need to do now is swim until you reach the shore.
No!
Until they find you in the water.
No! You cannot do that.
Yeah, you can't do this. We paid you for the full trip. Not to take us halfway.
Get a move on. There is no time to waste. If they catch us here, we'll all be deported. Remember, don't tell them where you've come from unless your country is a war zone. I have to go back. Decide for yourself. Jump in the water or come back to Africa with me.
God be with me.
Africa never.
Farahani finds himself struggling against high waves and a current that's trying to sweep him back out to sea. All around him, he can hear the cries of his fellow migrants as they fight for their lives in the water. All he can think of is that he has to keep swimming. Keep swimming until he reaches the promised land. Farahani keeps going for about 2 hours, longer than he ever thought possible. Yet the shore seems as far away as ever. Just as his strength is finally at an end, he hears a motorboat coming closer and a voice with a European accent calling out.
Grab the life jacket! Hey! Grab the life jacket! Okay, pull him up. Come on, pull him up on deck.
Who are you?
We are officers of Frontex, the agency in charge of securing the European border. You have crossed into our waters illegally. Who are you? And where do you come from? Are you from Africa, Asia, or the Middle East? You look like an Arab to me. Am I right? Are there more like you in the water? There are more out there. More in the water. Keep going. Take the boat further out. Quick, no time to lose.
Farahani's dream has finally come true. Wet, cold, hungry, thirsty, and exhausted, he's nonetheless managed to sneak into Europe. But what awaits him there? And what will Linda's visit home mean for her friends and family? Tune in again next time to find out. If you'd like to take part in a discussion about this episode on the different faces of migration in Europe and in Africa, you can do so by visiting our Facebook page, facebook.com/dw.lbe. Until then, goodbye for now and take care.
Our main stories. In South Africa, the economic freedom fighters have agreed to vote with the Democratic Alliance in municipalities, but have ruled out a formal coalition. South Sudan's new vice president has dismissed reports that government troops were responsible for brutal attacks on aid workers. And in the DRC, thousands of people have been queuing up for emergency yellow fever vaccinations. We welcome your comments on this program. You can send an SMS to country code 49 160957 59510 and email to feedback.africa@dw.com or a letter to Africa Link DW 53110 Bonn, Germany. From me, Mark Caldwell, bye now.